So we've got to the point in the story where Jesus is born. He's been prophesied. We're following through with Luke's gospel this year. And we're following through looking at certain things that happened along the way. The song of joy when Elizabeth finds out that she's going to have a baby even though she doesn't believe that she can anymore. And that Zechariah sings when his voice is released at the birth of John. And he hopes for what God has promised and sees that his son will be one who will prepare the way. For the song that Mary sings, as instead of focusing on the difficulty and the discomfort of what she's been asked to do, she says, "Let it be to me according to your word." And of course, as we will hear in the next reading, the song of the angels, as they freak the living daylights out of the shepherds above Bethlehem, rattle their cages comprehensively, and tell them that the one who's been long promised has been born. I thought it would be a good idea to ask. Obviously, we've got folks here from all sorts of different churches, but here in Gorebridge, Father Alan couldn't be with us tonight unless he snuck in. Has he snuck in? So just a big thank you to Father Alan for all his support. He's been fantastic. But I've got Gladys and Billy here, and I thought it would be fun to ask them a question. Would that be fun? Gladys and Billy, if I can have you out. We're so blessed. We really are. Because we know and love each other very much. But I checked this out beforehand. Bill, would you tell these lovely folks gathered here, when was it that you got to know Jesus for yourself?
Okay. I'm a young man still. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ when I was just under 18 years of age. My best friend at school, pretty wild in his life, and one day came back to school saying, "Look, Bill, I've become a Christian." "Yeah, right, sure, yeah, wonderful, great." I had no belief in God myself, brought up in a non-Christian home. But he said, "Come on, Bill, come to this prayer meeting." An 18-year-old going to a prayer meeting, I had no idea. A prayer meeting, "Well, thanks, Alan, that's kind of you, but no thanks." For weeks and weeks, he nagged at me, "Come on, Bill, this prayer meeting." So eventually, just to please him, I said, "Look, Alan, okay, fine, I'll come to your prayer meeting." A prayer meeting, great fun. So I walked up from Woodburn up to East Houses, and I went to this house group. And in this house group, we were talking about God and Jesus. And I can't remember the details of what was taught. But all I know is that during that time, God revealed his love. He told me, not audibly, but in my heart, that he loved me. And that I was a sinner, needed to be saved. I was 17, 18 years of age. And he said, I was a sinner, needing to be saved. And yet, I knew it was true. And that wonderful night, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's over 40 years ago. I know I don't look it. But all I can say is the wonderful faithfulness of the living God. And it's not being brought into a religion. It's brought into a relationship with the living God, to know God as Father and Savior and friend and lover of my soul. And every day with Jesus, an old chorus, is sweeter than the day before. And so if you have no knowledge, not just head knowledge of this Lord, but if you have no heart knowledge of this Lord Jesus Christ, who came down 2,000 years ago for you and me, there's every opportunity that you might know that Lord and Savior for you and find the vast difference that Christ brings to your life. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Gladys, when did you first get to know Jesus for yourself?
First of all, I'd like to say I didn't realize, Bill, you were that age.
Laugh on a heat, I don't know.
Thank you. Well, I was born in Northern Ireland on a farm.
Yeah.
And I received the Lord Jesus into my heart in Scotland.
Hey.
The night that I was born, I was actually born in the house, and my other three brothers weren't. They were born in hospital. But many years after it, Mum, there was the farmers all gathered in the yard to hear if it was going to be a boy or a girl. And eventually, my granny Irvin went out and told them, it's a girl. And they all took off their hats and gave three cheers. So I was well served by the farmers. But I didn't realize for many, many years after that, that when I was born, Mum said she gave me back to God. I didn't know that for many years later. And I came to live in Edinburgh, and I worked with ladies' fashions and addressed the gentry at home in Belfast and addressed them here in Edinburgh in a shop called Stella Nova. And someone came in one day and said, just as she was leaving, she said, you're a Christian. And I thought, well, I'm not a heathen. So I very quickly said, I'm a Christian. But it bothered me, because Christian was Christ-like, and I didn't feel that I owned that. And it was many, all I wanted was that she would come back in again so that I could say that I wasn't. But in the meantime, one Sunday morning, my husband played a lot of golf, competitive golf, and he was out. And I was coming from the bedroom going into another room when on the landing of my own home, where I still am for over 40 years, I found Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I found myself on the ground. And when my grandmother died at home, she was a lovely Christian lady, and so was my mum. There was an aura of light as my grandmother died, and I was 15. And that same light was in the landing of my own home in 10 Barley Now Gardens, yeah. Gorebridge. And it was there from then on. I used to get up. Everything changed. Everything. The sky was different. Everything changed. I rang my mum and she could hardly speak. Everybody cried. And I thought, oh my goodness, they'll better start cheering. But anyway, in that part, looking out at the sky and everything, and I said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have brought you into my heart, and I want to serve you, and I'll do whatever you want. And I regretted that from that day, because honestly, because I was a proclaimer. But I'll tell you, I thought, oh, what have I done? And anybody who say that to, they'll say, oh, Gladys, I bet you regretted that, because that. Bill's testimony, Mark's testimony, my testimony is the very same, because it's for the saving knowledge and the salvation, but it's not, doesn't stand there. It's for to live and reign with him in eternity. Forever and ever. If you haven't made your peace with God, it took me till I was 30 years of age, and I'm going to say something as well, just to keep up with Bill. I don't think I really look my age.
No, not at all.
But I think
I'm
a wee bit older than Bill, and I'm definitely older than Mark. Can I say something? I've never had any regrets. And I was set free that day in my home. And I'm as free as a bird tonight.
Amen.
all those years later when he's now free. For he says, those the sun sets free are free indeed. Do you want a bit of freedom tonight? Right? Jesus will do it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you so much. Thank you, brother. Phenomenal. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. God bless you, Bill.
Thank you. Bless you. I love those guys. Now, you can tell I'm the baby of the trio. But on the 21st of this month, it's going to be 30 years since I made a decision to follow Jesus. And all I can say to you is this. Absolutely. He shamelessly stalked me with his love. I thought I had my life sorted out. I was going to be an engineer, maybe have a family, some kids. Some. No more than a car full, thank you very much. But the thing that was in, when just like Bill said, he couldn't hear God speaking, but he could kind of hear him. We talk about here, the voice you can't hear, but you can hear just fine. And that voice was saying to me, make room for me, I'll come flooding in. I'd been dragged along by creepy Christian friends to all sorts of things for months. It was the only way I could spend any time with them. I liked them. But when I did, that December day, I was down at a thing in Dalkeith called Crusaders. And it was beginning to click. It was beginning to make sense to me. And as I was walking back up from Dalkeith to Esbank, because I grew up in a knobby neighborhood, okay? And don't feel too jealous. Nobody had any spare cash up there because it was all going on the mortgage, okay? But as I was walking back up that road, it struck me that if Jesus was alive, he wasn't dead. And that Jesus that we read about at Christmas time, it sounds like a fairy tale. Sometimes it's told like a fairy tale, but maybe it's the one fairy tale that's actually true, the one myth that's actually true that makes all the others make some kind of sense. That's what Tolkien used to say about the story of Jesus. It's the one myth that's true. That God broke into the world, became one of us, Son of God, but also Son of Mary, and lived and showed us God's love. Here's the thing for me, folks. The good news of Jesus' love is better news than you could possibly imagine. It's better news. The truth is that God is looking for us. He's looking for us like an anxious parent looks out for their child. And he's looking to see if we're going to come back to him. And when we do, the scriptures say that there's rejoicing in heaven. Just as there was rejoicing as Jesus was born and the shepherds are brought to go give gifts to him. He loves every single one of us. And there's something about Christmas, there's something about Advent. We open up to it in a way that we're not open the rest of the year. Friends, as the end of the year draws near, would you take a moment to consider for yourself that Jesus who was born in a manger still lives and is here by his Spirit, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven. He sent his Spirit to come to be with each one of us. He cares about you, your family situation, your work situation, your community, your life. And he's longing for you to respond in love to him. Now, that's the end of that bit. But just to hear from Billy, to hear from Gladys, and there's dozens of folks in this place today who've got similar stories, and some of them have only just come to faith. This is the first Christmas that makes sense. The first Christmas. And I pray it'll be the same for you. Thank you so much for being here if you don't know him yet. And if you don't, I would encourage you to get to know him. because he's good. And that little one that was foretold by John the Baptist, whose mom and dad were too old to have a kid, that little one who was born of Mary and brought up by Joseph, he's changed the world through his cross and through his life. And he longs for you to become children of God by adoption just as much as he is by nature and right. May we pray.